Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Retro Gamers Podcast, episode number 362. Larry here.
And Anthony here.
Yeah, what is going on, good sir?
Another week has gone, and I honestly don't know where it went because I wasn't here.
Yeah, no, these weeks are going quick. The weekends are going even faster, which is, I don't like that because my weekends go super fast when things are not going well, so I gotta try and get something into check, but because this, we're flying by here.
Yeah, not cool. Well, you know, all the more reason to have 3-day weekends every week.
But we're here right now, so that's what we're here for.
Yes,
and we're gonna have a good show, good episode, and we're gonna get right into it because one of us might be falling asleep shortly.
I don't know which one you're talking. Probably the cat at my feet right now. Right?
Adorable.
Well, he missed me. I've been gone all week. Right? Haven't I been gone all week?
Yes,
I've been
gone all him. Week. Look at him. Look at that. He's ready to kill.
He wants attention. So so yeah, it's been a week. I went shopping.
That's good. Let's get right into that.
I went shopping.
Yes,
I went to go visit our friends up north.
Okay.
The Canadians.
Our attic.
Yes, our attic. I saw Terrence and Philip.
Oh, and nice.
Other people. I made a lot of buddies while I was there.
Hey, buddy.
So
can we have a whole episode? No, never mind.
No, I'm not doing a whole episode in Canadian.
I know a few people up there.
So I went to Canada for the week.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was up there, I wasn't intending to go video game shopping this week.
Okay.
But we just so happened to stop by one of their Goodwill stores there.
Okay.
But they're called Value Village. So
that is an awesome name,
right? That's what I said. I go, it's better than like Salvation Army or Goodwill, where it's like, no, it's Value Village. So it's like, oh, what kind of value? Secondhand. Okay. So we were at Value Village, and I was
it still
like,
sounds like a Civil War era.
It does,
like
it really
monument.
Does.
Yeah.
So I was just like, oh, you know what? I'm here. I go, I might as well look for video games since I'm here, and I because you never know what you're gonna find when you go to a Goodwill, because
Value Village.
Yeah. There's actually a piece in my retro news that I was going to share later, but you know what? I'll share it now.
Okay.
For example, a video game collector was in a Goodwill and he found a prototype of the Philips CDI Hotel Mario game.
Seriously?
Yep.
What?
Yep. It was just hiding
in
insane. A Goodwill. So he bought it at Goodwill for nothing.
Goodwill has no idea what they have.
No, they really don't. So it was Hotel Mario version 0.09.
Wow.
So it was literally the prototype of the game. Somehow found its way into Goodwill, and this collector saw it and grabbed it. So all the more reason why I like to go to these places, or when I'm around them and I just see them there, I'm like, oh, let me pop in and just see if they have video games. Now, I went in, they had some video games in a case that were, in my opinion, a little overpriced, because some places they'll actually do the legwork and look them up and then be like, oh, you know, these are worth, I'm gonna throw all this up. But I did manage to grab 6 games for my
collection. Wow, holy cow.
They had a lot more than that, but I just went with these 6. Yeah, some of them not super, you know, they were all roughly the same price too. So, and some of them, you know, fairly common things that people don't necessarily collect, like sports games. So like, for example, I doubled my PlayStation 3 collection. I now have 8 instead of 4.
Wow.
I got NHL 2K7.
Very good. Very nice.
PlayStation 3. And naturally, it has
it is complete.
I did find that Canadians take care of their things.
Very good.
Also on the PlayStation 3, to continue the trend, I saw NHL 13 up there, so I grabbed that.
Might as well keep going.
Yeah, you know, I guess they
like their hockey.
They love their hockey, but I guess, you know, they give them up when they don't have Canadians on the cover. This is a Philadelphia Flyers player, so out it goes. And then this one was San Jose Sharks. So goodbye. So grab those two. Also on PS3, a game I've never owned and will add to my collection. I think this completes my collection for the Grand Theft Auto series, I got GTA 4.
You never? Oh, GTA 4. Okay. Yeah.
Did not 5. GTA 4 for PS3.
All right. Very good. Very good.
And then last but not least, this is probably the one I'm most excited about trying out because I've never played any of these games.
It's always fun. You know, I found it recently, like when I go shopping to pick up games. It's one thing to pick up a game that you used to have and then, you know, lost or something like me. My old collection was gone. But then to find one that you never owned before and to pick it up, there is something different about that when you pick that one.
Yes. Yeah, and that's this one. This was the one I was most that I was actually most intrigued by. It was UFC 2009
Undisputed. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I've never played any of the UFC games. So I'm really
neither have I, but
that.
I heard they're good.
Yeah, and there's
For the most part. And everything. Very nice. Very nice.
So I got those four for PS3.
Okay.
Then there were a couple of for Xbox 360. One of these games I owned, and then the other one was a sequel that I never bought, and now I'm really excited because I loved the first version of the game. And if you like Dante's Inferno, this may be another game for you to pick up.
Oh man, I still got to get through Dante's Inferno.
After you get through Dante's Inferno, this is the next series to pick up, which I got Darksiders.
Oh, yes.
And Darksiders 2.
Yes.
For 360.
Actually, I do own. Yeah, no, right? Those are some, what do they call that? Lentian?
Glare?
No.
Lenticulars.
Almost, yeah.
Darksiders. So there it is with my receipt.
Yep. Darksiders 2, I know I definitely own, which I never played.
Ta-da.
I got to have Darksiders 1 somewhere.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed
it. Wouldn't make sense for me to buy just 2.
I really enjoyed the first Darksiders. Okay. So, and I know they made 3 of them.
They did. Because I think I had 3. I think I bought the first one, and the other 2 I might have gotten like through like Games with Gold or whatever.
Oh, okay.
So maybe. I don't know.
So that's what I picked up. My collection has now increased by 6.
Wow. All right. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. So very happy with these purchases. Excellent. And again, with the conversion rate, when I figured out how much I spent for them, I was like, okay, that's a good deal.
Dirt cheap, my friend. Dirt cheap.
I was very, very happy with my
very good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. I didn't, this is one of the few weeks I didn't pick anything up. I don't think anything came in the mail. I didn't buy
nothing.
Nothing. I'm trying to remember. No.
Oh, I did have a
scrambler. That's about it.
Oh, I do have an update because last week, this is actually kind of fun because while I was driving home.
I hope it is fun.
Oh, well, okay. No. While I was driving home, I was listening to last week's podcast. Now I'm actually listening to our show. It took me like 6 years before
it does,
I started.
Yeah. He doesn't like listening back.
I don't like listening to my voice. No. I really don't. I congratulate everybody who does listen to my voice because, you know, I know it, there's some extra effort there.
This is my voice.
I was listening to the podcast last week and I had mentioned that I got the Powerbase Mini.
Oh, yeah.
When we recorded, I hadn't used it yet.
Oh, yes.
So I did use it on my Retro Freak.
Okay.
It copied all four. Of my Sega Master System games to the Retro Freak, they file them under the Mega Drive because it doesn't have a
Fair enough.
So it just copied right over to the Mega Drive section on the Retro Freak.
Okay,
and they all work fine.
Perfect. So awesome.
Yep. So works really well. Recommend it for anybody who needs one. Powerbase Mini. Play your Master System game. If you have one.
It's a very inexpensive way. I actually have the original Powerbase converter, more as just a collector's. You get the Powerbase Mini, which works on original Genesis systems, then works on the Retron 5 and the Retro Freak. So definitely well worth it. Now you have to see if an original Master System controller will work on the Retro Freak. I imagine it would.
I did get the controller adapter to it. I'm just not sure I don't think a Master System one would be on there.
You never know.
But I'll check it out.
Yeah, something to try. But excellent to hear. So that's very good. All right. So check them out over at Rondo Productions.
Yes.
So, all right. Excellent. We're going to get right into it. Why wait? Because last week, and it was funny because I even said it last week. I'm like, you know, when we come up with a topic while we're talking, and by the way, last week's topic, or not even last week's discussion, that was completely on the fly and just organically showed up out of nowhere. A lot of people actually enjoyed, you know, messaged and enjoyed that conversation of just us talking about our collections. Even if it was just number wise, talking about that. And because of that conversation, basically all week I've started updating and recalibrating, if you will, my collection, which I just use a simple spreadsheet
of course
on Apple Numbers, and to the point where I actually now updated like my Xbox 360, my Xbox Series X games, and like all like anything digital that I have and stuff, I kind of started throwing in, and I'm color coordinated and everything. And we're not going to get into another. I just want to mention this because I mentioned this in the chat, and I'm still flabbergasted by the number. When I was going through it, when I got to the Switch, I counted, not counting loose, but digitally, I have 461 digital Nintendo Switch games.
Wow. Wow. That's absurd.
That I mean, a lot of them were.
But then again,
you know what it is? A lot of them were, you know, I buy a lot of them on sale, and sometimes they drop real good. Christmas is at one. I forgot the name of the company that like has like 12 days of gaming or something like that. In like the last 2 years.
I didn't do it last year. I did it the year before.
And also the system's been out for like 7 or so years, maybe even longer than that at this point. No, 7 years probably.
I think 2017.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but still, it was.
I'm gonna double check that because someone will.
Of course, fact check us, absolutely. And again, a bunch of them may be free, but still, it was wild. And a lot of games, and I also when I was looking through it, like a lot of games sometimes, like I remember buying for like a nickel.
Oh yeah,
some of these games,
they have some crazy sales sometimes.
But it was when I counted that up and looked at the number, I was like, "Whoa!" And that's not even, I even mentioned in the chat, that's not even counting. That's just counting titles. Mm-hmm. Forget about like the compilations where there's additional games in there.
Sure. March 3rd, 2017.
Okay. Yep. Yep.
So it'll be 7 years in a week.
Yep. Oh, I remember watching that first video.
Yep. Well, it came out at the right time for me too, because I was doing a lot of international travel, and that's why Breath of the Wild and Odyssey, I plowed through those like crazy.
Well, one good game. That's good.
Yep. Two great games, actually. One that won Game of the Year, multiple awards. You know,
Odyssey, I think, did win a few. Yeah.
Odyssey won a few, but Breath of the Wild won a lot more than that. I want to give a quick shout out about our topic for last week, because we had asked people to, you know, submit their list of games and stuff like that. And on Instagram, the Unfun Gamer was kind enough to send us a screenshot of his collection. He actually uses an app called Game Eye.
Okay.
Which is interesting, because you might want something like this, because he sent a video showing his collections. It has sections for games, systems, peripherals,
real
toys, and print media.
How did I miss this video? Okay.
Yeah, so I'm definitely curious about actually looking at this one now, because it'll hold more. But I may switch from CLZ to Game Eye.
Uh-oh. So,
thank you, Unfun Gamer, for sharing your list, which includes, by the way, 1,784 games.
He's got, I don't want to say he has a full collection of NES, but he's darn near close to it, I think.
He has 88% of all NES games.
I would say that's darn near close. Okay.
Yeah, that's really close. I'm trying to catch the number. He sent a video and it goes through really quickly.
How did I miss
He has 600.
It would be weird for me to say. Go ahead.
603. It looks like
603.
It says.
Okay.
603. That's a healthy number.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah, crazy. But, so thank you for sharing your collection. He also has 38 systems.
Yeah, he's.
Yeah,
I would love to get into that gaming room of his. Forget about it.
And Game Eye also gives you an estimated value for the whole collection.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, that used to be like when my pops used to do that. Yeah.
So now I'm gonna look at Game Eye and see if I can put that one together, if it's better than the one I have.
Definitely send us photos. We definitely enjoy that, and yeah, definitely interact with us on the Facebook page. We'll drop all that stuff later, the Instagram page,
all that fun stuff.
But very good stuff. I am never going to come near that close to an NES collection, I'll tell you that much.
No, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna the closest, the I don't even know the best chance I have of collecting like a full system. I know yours is going to be the horrible Virtual Boy, but
how dare you? Look, I just found out, and that was the link I sent in our chat before we started recording, that apparently there's an update for a I already forgot what I call it. This is literally happening like a half hour before we started recording. But I saw like this updated emulator for the 3DS that supposedly plays like flawlessly Virtual Boy games. So yes. Now I've contacted our resident guru. I got to find a separate 3DS that I can play around with. Because again, the biggest blunder Nintendo has ever done, besides putting out said system, is not releasing 3DS games, Virtual Boy games on the 3DS. That would have been amazing.
Yeah, I think there was a perfect reason for not doing it, since they were all terrible. So
Wario Land Virtual Boy, definitely in contention for one of the best platformers ever.
Okay. Let's not waste our time talking about this.
Well, luckily for Virtual Boy games, I only have one of those. You can't buy the multiple copies of those over.
No, because they never released them on other systems. No, they were terrible.
They did not. But we're going to get right into it for this week. And you know, it's funny. I don't know why we always kind of like beat around the bush. They're like, oh, you know, we're not going to mention what the topic is before. And other podcasts do this, and two middle-aged guys, you know, friends of ours, trying to work it all out. Great podcasts. They always do it every week. They're like, well, you all know what we're going to talk about because you see it when you clicked on the link to listen to the episode or watch. Yes. So, but nevertheless, we're going to talk about games, and something we mentioned last week, Anthony threw it out. We're actually delivering, probably for the first time. Talking about games that we've actually repurchased over multiple systems.
Yes.
And when doing the research on this, I'm sure I have more games, but the list I already came up with was already more than I was expecting. Title wise and number of systems. So
well, title, just really quickly, title wise how many did you come up with?
Just, and this again, just wasn't even going heavy into it. Yeah. One, two, three.
Oh, you wrote it down?
Yeah, of course. Oh, nine. Okay.
Nine
games I picked.
Oh, you picked nine. Okay.
I
went through my full collection, like that I had on my app.
Yeah.
And then I literally was just like writing it in Microsoft Word. So, and I was doing a bulleted list, so I had the numbers on it. So I thought maybe you would do something like that. But
this is how I work.
I understand that. I was like, but see, I was able to get a lot of information down really, really quickly. I was very surprised with the overall number. I have purchased multiple copies of at least, because this may not be the whole thing, at least 49 games.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm not going through that full list.
No.
Most of them are like on two systems. Like,
and I have
two
expected
copies.
You know, I feel like, and let me ask you a question. Like, did I count it? I don't think I did.
I didn't necessarily count compilations.
No, I
depend.
Did.
It depended.
Depends on the game, and some situations
like
ended up being like a remaster, but well, still like nothing changed with the game.
Yeah, so. Because like if I went through like my Atari Anniversary Collection, Atari 50th, like I have like 3, 4, 5 copies.
Oh,
of the same Atari game.
I didn't even bother with that. Yeah.
No, but that's what I mean.
No. You're right. Yeah. You know? So but these are like some of like bigger titles that I found. We're going to get, you know, let's get right into it. Why keep dancing around it? I don't know if you want to kind of just go back and forth on it and just, you
know. I have a top 10.
Okay. I'm just, well, like, I what is your first game?
All right.
Or your number 10?
Well, here's what I have. I have 9 games that I own at least 3 copies of, and I have 1 game I own 4.
Wow.
So
okay, yeah, I also just to say, I made it a point where it's games that I bought at least over 3 different systems.
Okay, got it. All right, cool. So I'm gonna mention 2 off the bat because like some of them I'm kind of grouping a little bit.
Okay,
and these were the 2 wrestling games that I have 3 copies of. WWF Attitude.
Okay,
from the 90s. I have it on PlayStation 1. Nintendo 64 and Sega Dreamcast. I have all three copies of it.
I forgot it came out on Dreamcast.
The one that I personally owned was for PlayStation when it first came out.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. WWF games at the time, or wrestling games in general, bought them day of. So PlayStation was the first one to come out.
Okay.
The other wrestling game that I have three copies of, which is worth a laugh, is WrestleMania, the arcade game. I have it for Super Nintendo, PlayStation, and PC.
Oh, PC. Well, I don't have any PC games, but okay.
I have the PC version of that game too. So
I know that one I have two copies of.
Yeah, so I thought that was fun. Oh, I have two copies of so many things.
Oh, yeah. No, the two copies. Yeah, forget about it.
Yeah, so those are the first two I thought I would bring up.
All right.
Yep.
I'm gonna start with one because there's a couple of games I have like that are just astronomical almost as far as the number of games, but I'm gonna start with one actually because you in a series that you purchased a game for while you were up north, and this one I'm grouping together for GTA 3, GTA San Andreas, and GTA Vice City.
Oh, okay.
So I remember purchasing them individually on the PS2. Because that was my go-to for the longest time that my go-to, because PS2 was amazing. Then later on, they came out on Xbox. And I remember they came out in not even a compilation, just a two-pack, like separate, covers, you know what I mean? Separate cases. And then a trilogy for the three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought it on Xbox then. Then I bought it again on the PS4. So, yeah, so that one, and again, they really didn't change anything over all those iterations. In fact, I think one of them might have actually had some sort of downgrade in the quality of video or something. Oh, but, yeah, that's the first one that really popped out to me, because I remember, because then when the new Definitive Collection came out a couple months ago, I was like, I'm like, no, wait a minute. I have these games, and I'm pretty sure I still have multiple copies of the other systems. So, but yeah, no, GTA 3, San Andreas, and Vice City over those systems. And what's funny is, like, with PS2 and Xbox, which is almost, I forget if they're the same generation. I want to say yes. But it was weird for me to go from PS2 to Xbox. That, I personally, I always found weird.
Well, but, yeah. I mean, I can understand that.
Yeah.
So. All right, cool. Oddly enough, I actually double checked to make sure I didn't have multiple GTAs, but I have one copy of, I think 4 was the last one I needed. I think I have one copy of every GTA game.
I might be missing GTA 2. Because I originally had it on GameCube.
Oh, you know what?
Dreamcast.
Now that I think about it, I may be missing 2 as well. Because I have 1 on PlayStation, because I have the greatest hits version of GTA 1.
Do you have GTA London 1969?
No, I don't.
Ah, that was like the first DLC kind of stuff.
That's right. No, I do. Yeah. I definitely do not have that.
Well, you got work cut out for you.
I do. Here's a game that I found really interesting on my list of games that... I have multiple copies of it. Okay. And when I say multiple, I was surprised I had three copies of this, but then I remembered why I have three copies of it.
Okay.
So Dragon's Lair, I own.
Wow. Okay.
So I bought the version that Limited Run released for PS4.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Right. So it was a three pack. It was Dragon's Lair, the sequel, and Space Ace. Right.
Darn.
So, oddly enough, the way that I own these games actually wound up, I think, kind of backwards.
Yeah.
So I bought Dragon's Lair. I bought the collection for PS4 because I did not have Dragon's Lair, like a physical copy. I was like, oh, this is cool. Then I found a copy of Dragon's Lair for Sega CD. So I picked that up.
Oh, that's a rough one, I think, with the load times.
Yeah. So, yeah. But I wanted it in my collection.
No, of course.
So yeah. I have it on Sega CD.
Mm-hmm.
Then, when I was on my cruise to Alaska last year, and I went into whatever their version of Goodwill was up there, I don't remember. I don't remember what kind. It might have been
Hobby Lobby.
It might have been a Salvation Army.
Okay. Well, probably it's American, so yeah.
Or it was like fish and donations.
Yeah.
You know, you can buy. You know, everyone gets everybody gets a free carp with purchase. So I went into Salvation Army there, and I found a PC copy from 2000.
Okay.
Of, I don't know if it's all three of them. It's definitely Dragon's Lair and Dragon's Lair 2. I don't know if Space Ace is on it. It might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have three copies of the Dragon's Lair games as
okay.
well.
Okay. Okay.
So
fair enough.
So I was just like, wow. I was like, this is cool for a game. I mean, I love the arcade game. Mm. I loved it. And I finally got to beat Dragon's Lair while playing it on the PS4.
You did, yes.
Did I do a live stream?
Yep.
I did a live stream of that. Yeah. That took me like a good hour. And then the second one I haven't really played through yet. So Dragon's Lair is another one in my collection.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. I should have started with this one just to get it out of the way, because this is the one that kind of started almost the conversation. Mm-hmm. Ikaruga. An amazing shoot 'em up, where like it actually like you change the color of your ship depending on the color of the enemy ships and the bullets that come towards you. It is a shoot 'em up bullet hell type game.
Mm-hmm.
But it is amazing. I have it on three systems. On the GameCube is where I originally got it.
Okay.
And then I bought it again on the 360. And then for some reason, this is why I have over 460 Switch games, because I still have the 360 version. Actually, I think I still have the GameCube version, but it's on Switch. Let me go use it for Switch. So I bought it on Switch as well, which I'm happy I bought on Switch, because I have one of those. Oh, I used to have it down here. I bought one of those peripherals or stands for the mm-hmm. Switch that turns it into Tate or Tate mode. Uh-huh. And Ikaruga on the Switch is designed where you can change the ratio of the screen and play it in that mode. You really get like the original feel of the game. That was like the one, like I said, that's kind of started this conversation. So Ikaruga, yes. I got it. And I'm pretty sure I still have the GameCube version as well. I got to double check.
Nice.
But yeah, that was a big one for me.
All right, cool. My next one, I'm going to group two again. I'm going to group two together. This is the inevitable board game collections.
Ah, nice.
The board game collections, because I am a big board gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And I talk about that every so often, but video game wise I still buy board games, even though, you know, they're board games. It's still nice to play them as a video game because it's easy cleanup. There's none.
That's true.
So there are two board games that I have multiple copies of. One is Monopoly,
okay,
which I have on Super Nintendo, Super Famicom, and PlayStation 5. Surprisingly enough, I don't have the NES one, which I thought I did.
That's the one I used to have.
That's the one I used to have as well, but I don't have it. So now I'm like, okay, I gotta pick that up on my next run.
A jump from Super Famicom, then you waited to the PS5.
Yeah, which is
you would think you would have picked it up.
Or I think it's PS4 actually.
Still, PS4 or PS5 is all the same.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
They're going out of business. It don't matter.
What? Yeah, I don't know if I ever got it on like a compilation mm-hmm. on another thing. Like I may have. I'm just not 100% sure. But those are the ones that I know that I have.
Cool.
And then the other board game is obviously Clue.
Mm, yes.
I have four versions of Clue.
Wait, what other versions?
I have Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Genesis.
Ah, okay.
The new PS5 version that just came out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one on the Switch.
Okay, gotcha.
So I have four versions of Clue. I'm pretty sure there was another... I may have, no, you know what?
There's you have one on PS1?
No, there's a Hasbro Game Night collection that came out.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
And I was never able to find it because it was like the most elusive one. It was like volume 3 or something that had Clue on it.
Gotcha.
And I still need to get my hands. I should be making a list of things to buy. Now I'm just going to go shopping after
this. This is why you go back and listen to the show. I'll send you a clip of it.
Yeah, no, thanks.
all right. Not too bad. Not too bad.
Yeah.
Another one from the classic, because the ones that repeat tend to be the ones from like our childhoods and stuff like that.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, from back in the day. Sonic Adventure, and I'll link this with Sonic Adventure 2.
Okay.
These two originally came out on Dreamcast. I mean, it made the Dreamcast. Sonic Adventure 1 was
unbelievable.
Amazing, dang near perfect. Sonic Adventure 2, apparently, I think they're pulling some of that story for Sonic the 3, the movie.
Nice.
So I had it on Dreamcast.
Okay.
Then when that died, they re-released them on the GameCube. which are really good. And then I ended up buying them again digitally on the PS3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was the collection I went with. Almost bought them again on the 360 recently.
Mm-hmm.
Because I actually had a copy of Sonic Adventure for the Dreamcast. But mm-hmm. I never knew this grew. We talked about it before. We're not going to go into detail, but I totally was unaware that there was an issue with Sonic Adventure discs working with Dreamcast. Since, like, not every game worked in the system. There was an issue or something. Oh, really?
I didn't know
and
that.
I bought like one or even two of them, and they just don't boot up in the system. There's nothing wrong with the game. They'll boot up in other Dreamcast systems, like just I guess other models. Yeah, it's not mine. So I was gonna buy it on 360, and then I'm like, wait a minute, let me just make sure I don't own this somewhere else. And then that's when I went through I booted up, like, dusted off the PS3, booted it up, a boom of smoke came out the back of it. Nice. And then that's when I realized actually there's a bunch of games I have on there digitally as well. So Sonic Adventure, Sonic Adventure 2, cross those. Of course, nothing is like the original. Nothing's like the original in any of these. But mm-hmm. with the Dreamcast special, because remember, you were able to play like the almost like the Tamagotchi game.
On the VMU.
On the VMU, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was never really, you couldn't replicate that in the other ones.
No, so. You definitely couldn't.
And what I think I'm going to add one more because there is another Sonic game I want to talk about.
Okay.
Sonic CD. And Sonic CD, I've definitely owned a bunch of versions. The Sega CD original version. I will include this one. This is really the only one I think I included on a compilation. The Sonic Gems collection. It was on there. And then I bought it again on the 360, but then it stopped working. Not like they pulled it. It just, the file got corrupted or something like that. And then I got it again on Origins. That was actually four. And I'm not even counting the mini. The Genesis Mini 2 that it's on.
I didn't count any of the minis in any of these collections.
No, of course.
If we did that, saying, it would.
But Sonic.
That's cheating.
Along with Mario, Sonic has really found its way over multiple systems for me over the years. So
yeah, oddly enough, Sonic for me, I honestly think with the exception of Sega Genesis Collection and stuff like that, I think I've only purchased each Sonic game once, ones that I did own. I don't think I ever got them for another console, except for some type of compilation that I happen to be on.
All right, cool.
Next one I'm going to throw out is it's a Mario game. So I'm throwing a Mario game out there.
That's okay.
But it's not, but it's not the other. It's actually, it's Super Mario RPG.
Okay.
When going through my collection, I just realized we know the new Switch version came out, right? Which I have, and I played through. I have the original Super Nintendo version.
Yeah.
Which was actually a gift from you. Thank you.
Yes, no problem.
But then I also forgot, I bought the Super Famicom version when I was in Japan.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I have three copies of Super Mario RPG, one of which I can't play because it's in Japanese.
I can play
it to a point until you get to the quiz.
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting about the quiz. Yeah.
There's a quiz in the story. At that point, I'm done.
This is nowadays there's no excuse anymore. You prop your phone up right in front of the television screen. You get the translator app and you go to town.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm good.
All right. Not bad. Not bad. For me, this is a game that was just so, there was no need for me to repurchase this three times.
Okay.
But I just did anyway. Shadow of the Colossus. Great game.
There are three of them?
There is. And really, it was.
I love it. I played the PS4 remake and I loved it.
It's basically Sony taking a page out of Nintendo's book and well, we have a new system, so might as well spit this game out again on the system. So I bought it originally on the PS2. Another dang near perfect game. It got re-released on the PS3. That was more like a remaster. So I picked it up on that. And then they re-released it again on the PS4. And nothing's really changing. There's no graphical changes other than, the polishing. But they're not adding anything to it or an additional story.
No, definitely not.
Exact same cookie cutter game. Oh, 100%. But then I purchased it on the PS4. And I sit here and I always go, come on, put it out for the PS5. Upgrade the PS5.
That way you just want to keep buying it.
Let me go one more. Well, hopefully it'll be a free upgrade for PS5.
Well, that's also, but that honestly, like to me, I mean, it's a beautiful game. It's the remake is gorgeous. But that was the kind of game where it's like I played through it once. I can't see myself playing through it again.
One of the criterias of my list, I don't think I completed most of these games. This is just me fair. Repurchasing games for the sake of buying them.
Got it. Okay. So, see, when I repurchase, I make the attempt to at least play through.
Yeah, I mean, I've played them, but definitely, I've never beaten Shadow of the Colossus. So, in fact, every time I bought a new version of it, I think I played it less. I don't think I've touched the PS4 version.
Wow. Okay, that's the one. I played through the PS4 version. Yeah. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. All right, cool. Let's see. Moving on to... This was a fun one just to put down to know that I actually have three copies of this. But Parappa the Rapper... Now,
hey, look, you love that game.
I love that game for the half an hour of enjoyment it gives you. I bought this originally on the PlayStation 1, and I still have that copy, and I'm very proud of my copy there. But then I also bought the Japanese PlayStation version when I was in Japan.
Okay.
So I have it for PlayStation Japan. Mm-hmm. And then I also downloaded the PS4 version when it came out because... It was a twofer. It came with the sequel that I never bought, which was Unjammer Lammy. There was that, and then there was also Parappa the Rapper 2, which I never owned.
I keep forgetting about that one.
I always forget about
that. I know Unjammer Lammy.
Yeah, but I downloaded them because I wanted to play Parappa the Rapper 2.
Yeah.
So so I own three copies of Parappa the Rapper, which let's be frank. Nobody should own three copies of that game.
There's a lot of games that should not have been bought multiple copies. But
I mean, how many times can you play Clue? Well, for me, 10,000. But, you know.
Very good. Another one that I've bought, again, and it's when I looked at the list, I was like, wow, I really have it this many times? Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Wow.
I had the original game, phenomenal, on the PlayStation 1. Then I remember buying it. It was a Castlevania. I forgot the name of it, but it was on the PSP. Yeah. So another great version of that.
I was going to say, where's the third one? It was PSP.
then I purchased it on the 360 when it came out on 360, because the 360 did offer a slight graphical upgrade. So I'm like, okay, let's go with that. And then I purchased it. Now, hear me out when I say this. I purchased it on the PS3. But it's the PS1 version of Symphony of the Night for the PS3, because you were able to buy PS1 games digitally on the PS3.
Okay. Yeah. Even though you could have played your PS1 version on it, right?
Well, the original model I had, yes. But when I got the slim models,
got it.
Then that was no more.
Got it.
So, and I did, because actually, so that's four systems. And I remember when I went to go back and play Symphony.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. Then you have it on five systems, don't you?
Was the fifth one.
Didn't you buy the Castlevania? Isn't it on the, not the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, the other
Requiem,
one? With Rondo of Blood. Oh, you didn't buy that?
No, I don't have that because I have Rondo of Blood on my Wii. So I don't know why, because it totally goes against our topic today, but I'm like, I already own Rondo of Blood. Why would I buy a second copy of that? So there's no need to.
Oh, I don't know, because you have four copies of Symphony of the Night. Why wouldn't you buy it at that point?
I never said it made sense.
I think the title of this episode should be "We Waste Too Much Money."
No, it's all good. It's all worth it. We need more. Right. Those are the four I got. And when I bought the 360, I was going to say, when I went to go and play it, I thought it had a rewind feature on it. And it don't, and I was like, already committed to it. So I'm like, dang, all right, let's go through this on 360.
I went through my Castlevania list, and the most I have are two copies because of the anniversary collection. So that did not make my three or more list.
Fair enough.
Well, the next one I'm going to throw out is another heavy hitter. We're talking Legend of Zelda.
Okay.
So the OG Zelda, I have three copies.
That I know of.
I have the original NES version.
Okay.
I have the Famicom version.
Oh, okay.
In box too. Ooh, which makes me very happy. And then I have it on the GameCube with that Zelda Zelda collection.
Yes.
Which you probably have sitting behind you. Now, oddly enough, the franchise that I have the most multiple copies of games.
Mm-hmm.
Not oddly Anthony's enough. Talking yes. About. The promotional disc, which came with Zelda 1, Zelda 2, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask.
Yes.
So what I was saying is Legend of Zelda is the series that I have the most multiple copies of. So
makes
in other
sense.
Words, like aside from the first one, Zelda 2 Adventures of Link, which by the way,
Have been bought, bro, multiple times.
Well, I have it on the GameCube on that collection.
Yep.
But then I have the Famicom Disk System version. I don't have the NES one.
Really?
And I need to.
Wow.
I need to rectify that immediately. But I have two copies of Adventures of Link, two copies of Ocarina of Time, two of Majora's Mask, two of Skyward Sword, two of Twilight Princess, and two of Link to the Past.
What's your second Link to the Past?
The Super Famicom version.
Oh, okay. I keep forgetting about that. Okay.
Yeah. So I have all two right. of all of those. You know, the one that I don't have two of that I need to get the second one for is Wind Waker. I don't have Wind Waker HD.
Oh, on the Wii U? Oh, my God. It was so, I mean, to the
which I have to get. I have to get my hands on.
Really updated that to use, like, that is one of the best games to where you take control with the gamepad. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. I need to, I do need to get that one for sure. And I also don't have, did they do a Twilight Princess on the Wii U?
I do not. They always like ended.
I'm trying to remember.
It's like they always put one out at the end of a life cycle of the prior system, and then like
because Twilight Princess I have on Game. I have the GameCube and the Wii version, and then Skyward Sword I have the Wii version and the Switch version.
Okay,
because I don't know if that came out on Wii U.
I know Breath of the Wild came out on Wii U.
Breath of the Wild, I don't have the Wii U version. I just have the Switch one so far.
I mean, you might as well have two piles of poop.
No, that would be two virtual boys. So.
Wow. To link them together to play an amazing multiplayer game?
Yeah, to link them together to a giant piece of poop.
I got one more before we hit, I think, the big one that we're waiting to talk about.
And then I'll give an honorable mention before we hit the big one. No. Go ahead. Okay. Do yours.
Dead Rising. Again, when I was going through my list, I didn't realize so many, and I'm not even going to get into the sequels because I think there's
a lot
a couple
of versions
ones.
Of that game.
But original 360. And then on the PS4 and the Xbox Series X. So I don't even remember. They might have been, again, like a Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus.
Okay.
So I might be, I'm not remembering correctly. But I was kind of shocked how many copies of Dead Rising I do have. So that was just more like a quick mention.
Okay.
Because when I was going through the list, I was just writing everything down. But so I got those. And I don't even know if I still have the original 360 because that was a good version of it.
That's fair. And then just flipping through my list, I'll do one honorable mention for this is a twofer that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I think this one is more the why do I have two of them than anything else. But I was just very surprised when I found that I have two copies of Spider-Man the movie video game. The first movie.
Okay.
The Sam Raimi, Tobey Maguire one. For some odd reason. And I must have gotten it in like some type of like, remember when I was doing that retro game
The box?
Mystery box?
Yes.
I must have gotten it in one of those.
I still get emails from them.
Yeah. Retro Game Treasure, I think the name of it was.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I must have gotten it there because I remember buying the PS2 copy of that game. I have no idea how I got the GameCube copy, but I have it. So that's one of those. Why do I have two?
Okay.
But anyway, let's get to the big one.
All right. Start with yours, and we're going to talk about this is Super Mario Brothers. Now you linked you no pun intended.
No, because I have all three of them on. I have all three of them collectively on the same systems.
Mm-hmm.
So Super Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers 2, Mario Brothers 3. Right. Okay. So I have the NES version for each one. I have the Famicom version for each one, and I think the Famicom versions I have they may all be in box, which is great.
Nice. I got two of them, two of the three.
You have two. Which one are you missing? The first one?
I have one. I have all three because I have the two.
I bought you all three.
No, you didn't. I don't think you did.
I thought
I think
did.
I bought two. I think I bought two on my own.
Super Mario USA? No, I thought I got that for you.
Oh, USA. I'm thinking Lost Levels. No, yeah, I do have USA. Oh,
I'm not talking Lost Levels. I'm talking USA.
No, I got you. I got you.
Yep. So I have the NES and the Famicom version, and then I have all three of them on the Super Nintendo on the All-Stars game, Super Mario All-Stars.
I debated back and forth whether to count that one, to be honest with you.
I counted it because I realized after going through those three, I never bought those games again.
Really? All-Stars was the last time.
All-Stars was the last time I purchased the original Mario Brothers games. The rest of them, the next time I had them available to me was on, I guess, on the Switch when it became, when it was on Nintendo Online. Thing,
yeah.
Yeah, like, and I never bought it for any other Nintendo system.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm only going to focus on the first Super Mario Brothers. Because, I mean, two and three. Super Mario Brothers, I have bought 7 times.
That doesn't surprise me. I actually thought it was going to be more.
It might be more. I might just be missing something somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But original NES.
Okay.
And I debated over this one. It almost was 6, but I'm like, let me just go with 7. Game Boy Color. Super Mario Brothers DX, they released on the Game Boy Color.
That's right.
Game Boy Advance, they released like an NES series on the Game Boy Advance.
Okay.
Then it was probably the first game I bought on the Wii Virtual Console.
Okay.
Then I bought it again on the Wii U Virtual Console. Reason being, it didn't copy. I could have just simply copied the Wii because the Wii was backwards compatible with the Wii U.
Yep.
But for like $1.50, you were able to repurchase any virtual console game you bought on the Wii. You could have bought again on the Wii U, you know, like to have it localized on the
right.
Wii U. I guess in my head, I was just moving on to another system. Okay. But no, now I know. So that's all right. So there. Then the Famicom version. Right. Then the Game & Watch that came out for the anniversary.
Right.
Game & Watch. So you actually have Zelda then.
Yeah, so then I have, well, no, I have Zelda and Mario on the Game & Watch.
Yes. So, but 7, which, and that's at least, I again, like I said, I am sure, I'm not counting the Switch version. I'm
sure you're not counting
the
Super Nintendo one either for All-Stars.
I'm not counting All-Stars. I'm not counting Animal Crossing for the GameCube. And probably other versions I can't think of right now.
Well, that's more of a bonus. You didn't buy Animal Crossing for Super Mario Brothers.
I did. I bought Animal Crossing purposely to get to unlock the NES game.
Okay, then that counts. That counts.
So that's we can 8. Push it up to 8 then.
Well, that's and 9 if you count All-Stars. Because think about it. If you bought All-Stars, the reason why I counted All-Stars is the only reason for purchasing All-Stars was to play the NES Mario games because it didn't have a new game on it.
No, but it was
except for Lost Levels.
Lost Levels.
Yes.
But to me, like, I just didn't count because it was such a graphical changeover. Like Shadow of the Colossus, almost like if you put the three of them next to each other, short of like seeing pixels on a PS2, not pixels, but you know what I mean? Like the polygons on a PS2, where like it was such a jump. Yeah. That's the only reason why I didn't count. Don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying that's the only reason why I didn't list it.
Yeah. Okay.
But still, going through my list for Super Mario copies of Super Mario Brothers, definitely it's got to be probably the number one game that I've purchased over and over.
I knew that it would be. I definitely knew that it would be.
And in a way, we can both count the Switch Online because you have to pay for Switch Online to get access to those NES.
Yeah, but you're accessing again, but it's also accessing a compilation.
So
I also just realized WWF Raw. I had 3 copies. I don't have one of them anymore.
So now you're down to 2. Now you're losing copies.
No. I traded in a long time ago, but I had the Super Nintendo, the Genesis, and the 32X version.
That's another one. I don't know if you can count the Super Nintendo and the Genesis because they were different rosters. Raw. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking Royal Rumble.
Yeah, Raw had the same exact roster.
Yeah, except for the 32X.
Except for the 32X, who had one extra that I had to go out and get.
All right, we got the 32X. We need to throw one extra character. We can fit one extra character in.
Let's use one of our top stars in the company. Nah, his pixels won't fit. Put Quang in there. Okay.
Oh, well. All right. Look, I think for the most part, you know, some of the games that we've repurchased over the lifetime of systems, you know, again, in my feeling, if you love the game so much, you know, you always want to, you know, have it on that newest system. Keep that fresh coat of paint on it. And I'm sure a lot of people out there have repurchased games over and over again. So definitely, you know, give us a shout out. Let us hear. Let us know. Show us. You know, you can send us, again, you know, interact Thunderdome Gaming 1. Brisley put up his Master System collection. Mm-hmm. Put a picture up on our Facebook page. So definitely interact. And Ant, where can they hit us up on social media?
You guys can hit us up on facebook.com/retrogamerspodcast, on Instagram at retrogamerspodcast, on Twitter at retrogamerspod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube and Spotify at retrogamerspodcast, or you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
All right. With that,
Larry, before we move on.
Oh, okay.
How did neither of us have Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man on our list?
Because that is probably astronomical. And I don't think I got to the P's.
Oh, you didn't get that far. Because I was going to say, I would have sworn you would have had a duel between Ms. Pac-Man and Super Mario Brothers.
Ms. Nowadays, probably. Right off the top of my head, I can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The big giant one that has a glaring error on it.
You mean my high score?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, they probably rivals. Okay. You know, and I'm including like Ms. Pac-Man Maze Madness that has a version of Ms. Pac-Man on it.
Of course.
So yeah, that probably right, enough. I didn't get that far into the list. So okay, even though fair. I did get the Shadow of the Colossus.
Fair. All right, let's move on.
Well, speaking of which, let's get to Game of the Week.
All right, we are on Game of the Week, and it was your turn this week.
So Journey to Silius.
For the NES.
For the NES. Originally on the NES.
Originally on the NES.
And it is available on the Nintendo Switch, which I'm pretty sure, Ant, was the way you played it.
That is the way I played it, because I don't own it any other way. So, so full disclosure, I only got an opportunity to play it right before we recorded.
As long as you got to play it. Yep.
So I did. I put in a decent amount of time just to get a feel for the game. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't that enamored with it. I thought, it felt like, you know what, I guess, having not played it before, let me put it out there, mm-hmm. never played it before, it felt like a dozen other side-scrolling games I've played before.
Okay.
So I wasn't really, there wasn't anything that jumped out at me that made me think, oh, this is unique in some way that made me want to really play through it. Granted, had I played this as a kid, I think I would have absolutely loved it just because, you know, just a cool side-scrolling game. But otherwise, like, the graphics were fine. The gameplay is fine. I like the fact that you get different guns. Now, I only made it to the second level, and then I kind of just stopped there. like I said, I was like, it was just kind of one of those games where I'm just like, okay, this exists. I'm chugging along in it. I thought, what was the one thing that I was a little, what I was a little confused with, and I didn't get an opportunity to figure it out. When enemies drop charges that look like they belong in Mega Man.
Yeah.
Like they drop a blue power cell, pink power cell, something like that. I would go pick them up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, this will recharge my machine gun. This will recharge my energy. They didn't do anything.
Well, you probably were maxed out then.
No.
Well, then you have a glitch in your game because they
worked
on mine.
Right. But that was the Switch Online version. So when I was playing the Switch Online version, I would pick up these items and they wouldn't give me any extra health or extra ammunition. And I'm like, well, I know there's something wrong if that's happening because they have to do something.
So, I think you were just looking at it wrong because it doesn't like refill a lot, especially the pink health ones, which are like, they show up once every like 27 minutes.
Oh no,
you're playing a 30-minute game.
No, I know because I got a pink health one and I only had one bar left.
Yes.
And I still had one bar after I picked it up.
And then you're doing something wrong.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. But anyway, so you know, I played through the end of the first level with the helicopter and the whatever the jumping alien things were cool. Yep. Again, it was just one of those things where I just like it was fine, but I wasn't really enamored with it at all. Like it's like if I played through it once, that would probably be it for me, but I don't see myself going back to it.
Okay. Well, it was just meant to play. That's all.
Yeah.
Just
no,
meant to have a fun time.
No, it was just meant to play. It was like, it was like a slower Space Contra, I guess would be the way I would describe it.
Interesting. Interesting way to put it. All right. All right.
And you get to keep the weapons you find.
Yes. Thank goodness. And yes,
that part was okay.
You know, I'm certainly not expecting to woo the hardest person on the planet to woo. So, but at least you got to play it, And you got some sort of enjoyment until you tried to refill your power. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, there. Exactly. And then I was just like, hey, what gives here?
So I, full disclosure, I discovered this on a friend of mine had a hacked NES Mini. Like mm-hmm. when it first came out and everyone started, you know, booting them up with like all the entire system and everything like that on there with all the NES games. Right. So I was playing it. He's like, yeah, try this game called Journey to Silius. I never heard of this game before that. Never saw the game, never played it originally when I was a kid. So I'm playing through it. And yeah, I was like, all right, this is actually a really cool game. You know, it's just fun to play, which is why I was really excited when it dropped on the NES library on the Switch. I was like, that's awesome. This is a great pull. People are going to have fun with this game. Almost everybody. So I was like, all right, cool. And I've played it a few times. And then, like I mentioned last week, it was when I purchased the Sunsoft collection on the Evercade. It's on there. And that's the version I played. And that's the version you're going to see when we put up our Game of the Week play on Thursday, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Check it out on YouTube. So I played the Evercade version. And I really got to play this one. I actually sat down and played. I got to level, I don't want to give anything away. But I guess by me saying that means I didn't beat it. But things could change after this recording, so who knows. As another fun reason I picked this game and to play this game is when you realize what the game originally was supposed to be. And as you play through the game, especially when you get to level 3,
mm-hmm.
Oh man, does it really make sense where they were heading with this? So much like how Donkey Kong originally was supposed to be
Popeye.
Thank you. This game was supposed to be based on the Terminator movie.
Yes. I remember you mentioning that off, you know, when we weren't recording.
Yep. And Sunsoft just lost the license. So they're like, all right, well, let's just continue moving on with this game and we'll move forward with it.
And makes sense.
It totally makes sense when you start playing it. They changed the story a little bit, but you play through it. When you get to level 3 though, you're pretty much running into Terminators.
Nice.
They didn't change nothing about the, and they're just regular like boss, regular characters in the level. It's not like a boss character, but they're Terminators.
But wasn't level 2 also like the? Well, no, that was probably too far out. But oddly enough, like if you look at the ones in level 2, and then you look at the future Terminator movies, it was like the T-100. It looked like the little tank version of the Terminator.
Oh, the tank, maybe. Yeah, a little bit. But I'm talking the outright up-walking
Terminators,
T-800s or whatever.
Yeah.
And there was another, oh, I can't remember it now as I'm talking. There was something else that's almost like a spitting, like this is just from, they did not change this at all when they were moving on from the Terminator. So you can definitely see that in the game, which I think is awesome.
Okay.
And there's tons. I mean, that's another one we can talk about one day. Games that originally were heading with licenses, license got pulled, and then they changed it.
Made it something else.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a cool topic. Maybe next week.
Beyond that, no, I already got a topic next week. It wasn't even my choice.
Okay, that's true.
So that's another reason why I like this game, just the history of the game. And beyond that, it's just a fun side scroller. You're right, you know, switching through the guns and everything like that. I definitely enjoy the replay value of the game. As like I said, you'll see my gameplay this coming Thursday. So it was a complete random one, random pick for game of the week. And hopefully some people out there, we got some likes on it. Enjoy Journey to Silius. What this game could have been if it was Terminator, because you got to imagine you're probably playing as John Connor.
Yes.
In fact, isn't the character's name Jay? John, Jay McCray, John Connor. So they changed enough of it.
Okay.
But nevertheless, great hit. Again, you can play it on the Switch.
Nice.
And playing it on the Evercade, I got to admit, as much as I play a lot of the Evercade, but I don't play long on the Evercade. Like I jump around different games. This was the first one I actually sat down with. And again, you know, it's just how amazing the Evercade is. And I didn't realize this when you go into it. Like when you go to click on a game, when you read the description, if you click more on the Evercade home screen, mm-hmm. it does give you a very small history of the game as well. And like, they couldn't get outright say Terminator, but like, well, this game started off as a 1980s blockbuster movie. So nevertheless, Journey to Silius, fun game. Definitely check it out if you haven't. And that was this week's game of the week.
Very nice.
And with that, Ant, it is now your choice.
It is my choice to pick game of the week. And as you know, Larry, but other people don't, and I will say it right now, I will not be here next week.
What?
So I will be traveling again, but I'm traveling a little bit farther than Canada this time. I'll be overseas, and I will not be able to record next week. But
you should have rented and owned.
Yeah, but our friend Rich,
yes,
has agreed to step in for me. So thank you in advance, Rich. And he is already aware of next week's game of the week that I'm picking for the two of you.
Okay.
So next week's game of the week is going to be coming to you courtesy of the Super Nintendo. I'm going to be playing this as well overseas. So solidarity. the game I selected for you guys to play is Super Punch-Out.
Oh, nice.
So Super Punch-Out for the Super Nintendo is our game of the week for next
week. I am in. I've never actually sat down to play that. I never owned it originally. Okay.
I never owned it either, which is why it's stuck. It stuck out for me. Yep. So I was like, ooh, I was like, you know what? I'm going to play this while I'm traveling. And I'm going to, you know, give you guys the opportunity to play it as well.
Sounds good. All right. Super Punch Out, game of the week.
Yes.
All right. With that, let's get into it. News.
We got some retro news, and I'm going to go through it quickly because I want this show to be less than an hour.
Too late.
Oh, really? Wow. All right. So two retro birthdays to speak of. One obscure, one not so much. Both from 1999, the 25th retro birthdays for Power Stone on the Sega Dreamcast. I don't know if you remember
that. I remember that. Yeah.
And Need for Speed High Stakes for the PlayStation 1. So those are the two retro birthdays I wanted to give a quick shout out to.
Good Lord.
Yeah, never 25. Owned, 25. 99.
Okay.
25 years.
Wow.
And I never owned either of those games, but I remember I wanted Power Stone.
I feel like I did have Power Stone.
Yeah. So, all right. So a bunch of news to fly through really quickly. One is Punch-Out news, which I thought I would bring up. So since I just talked about doing Super Punch-Out. Apparently, a fan-made Super Nintendo port of the original NES Punch-Out is underway. There is again, these are always people, you know, a bunch of hackers, people online and stuff like that. So there is a ROM hacker expert guy named Infidelity online who has been porting NES games to Super Nintendo for a while now. He's done, up until this point, Mega Man, Mega Man 2, Mega Man 4, Metroid, The Legend of Zelda, and DuckTales. He has ported all of them to the Super Nintendo. He has now decided to port Punch-Out, the NES version Punch-Out. Not sure if it'll be Mike Tyson or not. It'll probably just be Punch-Out. But for extra fun online, he posted a teaser trailer for Punch-Out where he edited in the Paul Rudd Super Nintendo commercial. If you remember that from back in the day.
Yeah.
Paul Rudd was famously in a Super Nintendo commercial very early on in his career when he was young. Mm-hmm. And he interspersed NES's Punch-Out into the commercial.
That's pretty funny.
and then used a clip of Mike Tyson from The Hangover in the commercial. It's actually really funny if you go look it up.
Okay.
So I put together a cool little teaser trailer, but there will be an SE. He's going to do a Super Nintendo port of the original Punch-Out game. Okay. And I'm assuming Mike Tyson will be in it because he put him in the trailer. So it'll be Mike Tyson's Punch-Out is my guess.
I don't think Mike Tyson knows that, though.
No, don't tell him. Yeah. Okay, moving on to this is kind of fun. Capcom's been doing all these wild things because it's their 40th anniversary, right? Mm. I downloaded that anniversary, that Capcom Humble Bundle.
Oh, yeah.
Last week with like 71 games or something.
Yeah, I looked into that. That was a bit deceiving. No, it's not that. There's 70 games because they're all part of the Capcom Arcade Collection.
Yeah, but still.
Agreed.
But if you bought the Capcom Arcade Collection, you had to purchase those games in it.
True. Or you unlock all of them.
Marketing
at its best.
Yeah, but despite the fact you got 71 games for like $20. Yes. Anyway, so Capcom now did something else, which is really weird and random. They collaborated with the Japanese clothing line Uniqlo. Do you know Uniqlo?
I feel like we've mentioned them before.
Yeah, because they've been they do some interesting things. So to celebrate Capcom's 40th adventure, they created a web-based game with Street Fighter characters going through the Uniqlo clothing store. It's a side-scrolling game.
Really?
Which, yes, with cat and there are characters from Street Fighter. It's okay. A retro side-scrolling action game where you run through a Uniqlo store to get back a t-shirt stolen by an alien.
Of course.
And throughout your adventure, characters from Street Fighter also appear.
Okay.
So, and the lead character at a certain point is able to transform into Ryu at some point in the game.
That's awesome.
So there you go. And the that's the first stage. This isn't in March. They're releasing a second stage that's going to be based off of Mega Man.
Really?
So and then
okay.
And then there's going to be a third and final stage that will only be revealed on a special mini arcade machine.
Oh boy.
And only 40 of them are going to be made.
Well, then I don't have to worry about it. Okay, good.
So there's no news on that one yet. And what is this promoting, of course? Uniqlo is producing t-shirts. They have t-shirts to celebrate Capcom's 40th.
Not bad, not bad. Nice t-shirts.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, Street Fighter, Mega Man, Ghouls and Ghosts, Resident Evil, Devil May Cry. There are a whole bunch of t-shirts you can buy at Uniqlo for Capcom's 40th. So check it out and go on the web, play their game. Okay. Atari's got a couple of things going on. So apparently I missed this, but Atari released a new line of games under the label Atari Presents. Have you heard of this?
No.
So last week, Atari launched a brand new label on Steam and GOG. Oh, okay. Yeah, on Steam and GOG called Atari Presents. And they're just dropping a bunch of old Atari retro games on it.
Okay.
So 8 games were released so far. Apparently, the article that I read was some of the games are having issues and they're fixing them. But the 8 games they've released were Gunship and Gunship 2000, Weird Dreams, which was done by Rainbird Software. The reason why I know this game is because it was the very last game I ever purchased for my Commodore 64.
Wow.
And I remember it specifically because I went to the computer. I went to, I think it was SciSut Computers.
The one on Avenue U?
On Avenue U and East 21st Street, across the street from Blockbuster.
Yep.
They had a copy of Weird Dreams in there, and I bought it, and I never got through the first level because it was just really weird. It took me forever to get out of. The dream happened in, like, you were in a weird amusement park.
Yeah, I'm looking at it here, yeah.
Yeah, and the first level was to just get out of the cotton candy machine, and I could not do it. I got out of it maybe once.
Yeah, like, so that's a giant cotton candy machine.
It's a giant cotton candy machine. So, Weird Dreams, Hardball and Hardball 2, the 3D platformer Zapper One Wicked Cricket.
Okay.
Flight of the Intruder, and then a space flight simulator game called Lightspeed.
Wow, they're such like you never expect these games. Like what? Like yeah, I like this list.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a list of random retro games that you wouldn't expect to be released. And then apparently they're gonna release more. We just don't know what, because literally they just dropped it out of nowhere. All of a sudden there's just this list on Steam, Atari Presents, and it's like, okay.
Man, I really need to get something that lets me play Steam.
There is a Steam Deck that you can purchase that works just like a Wii. not a Wii, I'm sorry, a Switch.
Or a Wii U.
So maybe you should get yourself a Steam Deck.
Maybe, because these games are so cheap.
Yeah, well, and that's a cool thing. If you buy a Steam Deck, Larry, you can take advantage of the Humble Bundles and then get 70 games for $20.
I already have those games.
All right, moving on. On top of this news from Atari, there's more news from Atari. 3 brand new Atari 2600 games have been found. They've been discovered and dumped online by a poster at Atari Age forums.
Okay.
He posted them earlier this month. He published the links to these games. There were actually 6 of them. Three of them are already up, and three of them are now, like, three of them were up earlier this month, and now another three were up.
Gotcha.
Released. The speculation is all of these games were ready to go out, but canceled because of the video game crash of 83.
Okay.
So the name of these games are Cat Tracks with an X, Funky Fish, Pleiades, and then the three new ones are, this is a coin-op game that was going to be released on the Atari called R2D Tank. There's a Frogger-type game called Hobo, and then another arcade game called Spiders.
Okay. So, I mean, they sound like bootlegs of the games you were saying, like a Frogger-type game called Hobo. Some guy trying to crush a street.
So if you go to the Atari Age forums and you look for the poster, whose name is, wait, I just saw it.
And they work for Atari, so you would, it almost feels like they should be considered like first party, kind of, sort of.
Yeah, I know. The poster calls himself Ianoid, I-A-N-O-I-D. So if you look him up on Atari Age's forums, you can download these six games that were made but never released. Okay, moving on. Contra, Larry. You love Contra. So get ready to spend some money, because Konami is releasing a 10 CD box set that contains all the music from Contra.
Really?
Only available in Japan, but it's up for pre-order. Pre-orders are now available on Konami's online store called Konami Style.
I've shopped from them before.
The 10 CD release will feature music across the Contra series from the 1987 arcade all the way up to the upcoming remake of the original Contra, Contra Operation Galuga.
Oh, Contra OG.
Contra OG.
I just played the demo. It is amazing.
Well, there you go. You can get yourself a 10-disc CD set.
I will check that out. Quick, on a side note, speaking of Contra Operation Galuga, if you play through the demo on the system you plan on buying the game for, when you play through the demo, it actually doesn't say what it is, but you unlock something that you will get in the full version of the game.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and it is gorgeous and hard as hell.
As Contra would be.
Oh, I expect nothing less. I cannot.
That's how it should be.
March 12th cannot come fast enough.
All right,
have to check out these. Hopefully they will release these music CDs digitally.
In the U.S.? No, digitally.
Yeah, because I don't have a CD player.
Get one.
No!
You have a whole bunch of physical consoles right back there.
I'm not going to listen to my television.
But I'm just saying, like, adding a CD player wouldn't kill you. Anyway.
Because I don't have speakers.
Well, you know what you're getting for your birthday now? I'm going to get you a nice Sony Discman.
I'll take a Zune.
I'll get you a Zune.
I did. I bought a Zune. I'm like, who needs this Apple garbage? I'm not getting an iPod. I'm getting a Zune.
How'd that work out? I have two iPods hiding somewhere in this house.
I got to admit, though, when I at work, I would use the Zune because it actually had FM radio.
This was
years ago. Years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like 2007, 2008. And I would listen to like WPLJ at work.
Yeah, which is fun.
So that was awesome.
Nothing wrong with that. All right. This past week, five more classic games were released on the Nintendo Switch Online.
Yes, what a lineup.
Yep, so we got five games, two of them for the NES, two of them for the Super Nintendo, and one for the N64 that I've always wanted to play, and I never bought it, and I always wanted it. I remember a friend of mine came over and brought it to my house, and I played it, and I said, oh, this is a fun game, and I never bought it, and I should just go get it. All right, so RC Pro-Am and Snake Rattle and Roll for NES.
Very interesting. Never a fan of RC Pro-Am.
Yeah, I liked RC
Pro-Am. Though I didn't own a copy.
Snake Rattle and Roll reminds me of Marble Madness.
Yes.
The Super Nintendo games, Killer Instinct, and Battletoads and Battle Maniacs.
Yes. After playing Battletoads a couple weeks ago, I've been itching to play the Super, and I've never played the Super Nintendo before.
And then last but not least, on the N64 Blast Core, the N64 game.
I think I originally owned Blast Core.
I never owned Blast Core, but I always wanted it.
Definitely fun game.
Yeah, so again, I'm making a list.
Hey, just to go,
I can add it to my Polymega.
You can, absolutely, again. Just to go back just for a second to the Contra music.
Yes.
So pre-orders are available on Konami's online. So like you said, Konami style, which you cannot access from North America. Or if you need one of those fancy VPNs that I ain't doing.
That's not cool.
But yeah, no, that's the only way to get this physical CD set. Dang, wonder why. That's weird. All right,
yeah,
whatever.
Beats me.
So,
they don't want the silly Americans buying it and throwing it on eBay.
Ah, that's what I will do now. I will get you.
All right, two more bits of news to throw out really quickly. Okay.
Take your time.
This is a fun one. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a VHS-based game system in the 80s. It was called the Viewmaster Interactive Vision.
I feel like I remember hearing about it like later on in life.
Yeah. So the idea behind it is that you would play VHS tapes in it, but they were specially produced.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were all well-known children's properties at the time. And then there was a controller which had a joystick and five buttons, and you would take part in interactive games.
I'm thinking of something else then. Okay.
So, and some of the, and these were all well-known. So we're talking about like Sesame Street, The Muppets, and Disney all did VHS versions for this Viewmaster Interactive Vision system. So I'm bringing this up because there's a news article out because they're saying now that this is going to be the next retro console that is going to be emulated.
Okay.
I don't know why, but because a group of archivists, right? Because there are a lot of archivists now. They're archivists, whatever you want to call them. I call them archivists. A group of archivists have been restoring these tapes and making them available on DVD MP4 formats.
Man, people got time on their hands.
In an effort to make these games playable again through emulation. So again, they're trying to preserve them, but by preserving them, they have to make them. You have to make them like
emulator. Yeah, no, of course.
So if you go over to archive.org, you will find remasters, high quality remasters of all seven games.
Oh wow.
Which are Disney Cartoon Arcade, Oscar's Letter Party, Magic on Sesame Street, Let's Play School, Let's Learn to Play Together, Muppet Madness, and Muppet Studios Presents You're the Director.
Ooh, I'm in for the Muppets games.
There you go. So so you can go watch the videos on archive.org. But then one of their coders says that they are analyzing them in an attempt to emulate them so you can actually play them.
That's really interesting. Okay.
So just really cool, random, fun.
Totally random.
Kind of fun. And it's nice to hear about like these random retro consoles that were made for specific purposes.
Oh, totally.
That are finding, that are getting resurrected in some way.
Yeah.
All right. Last bit of news that you, sir, are going to be very happy about.
Oh.
And no, it's not about Tears of the Kingdom. But I am here to tell you that your search for a Vectrex may be over.
Oh.
Because the Analog Pocket and Mister now have a Vectrex FPGA core.
Really?
Yes.
I am going to have to update my pocket when we're done.
You need to update your Analog Pocket and find yourself the Vectrex.
Wait a minute. Is the list on the thing then?
I don't know. The Vectrex FPGA core is now available for both the Mister and Analog Pocket, which you can download here at GitHub. So,
GitHub is a place to go.
If you go to GitHub, since we record on Zoom, I just threw it in the chat for you.
Oh, thank you.
You can go download yourself the Vectrex core and play Vectrex games. And now I am jealous because you can play Vectrex and I can't.
Well, this is just the core. God help me. I got to try and find the games.
Yeah. Well, if you do, play some Clean Sweep for me because that was my favorite game.
Will do.
And that is all for retro news.
Well, real quick, I want to throw out as well. I think it just happened this week. No, nothing major. Just speaking of cores and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The Analog Duo has now been officially jailbroken. So you can now update the Duo just like all the other analog systems.
Nice.
To play the library of TurboGrafx and Turbo CD games.
Ooh, very nice.
Yep. And from the same site, GitHub. So definitely check that out. I'm sure, trust me, if you've hacked the prior systems, you know where to go. But I just want to throw it out there because I'm debating whether or not to do it. I kind of like keeping it fresh and on its own. And that damn light still blinks. They have not updated it yet. And it teases me and it mocks me.
Put a piece of tape over it.
No, it only bothers me when I'm here. Like here, if I'm in front of it, I don't see it. But in any event.
Well, put a piece of tape over it.
They sell tape like that too.
There you go. Problem all right. Solved.
And with that, we're going to wrap it up. Ant, one more time, where can they find us?
You guys can find us on Facebook.com/RetroGamersPodcast, on Instagram at RetroGamersPodcast, on Twitter at RetroGamersPod. You can listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch us on YouTube at RetroGamersPodcast. You can watch us on Spotify at RetroGamersPodcast. And you can email us at email@theretrogamers.com.
I just found the Vectrex Games. All right.
See? Done and done.
And with that, Ant, enjoy your travels.
All right, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes, and I will see everybody next week on the Retro Gamers Podcast.